Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable Podcast, presented by Capital Area District Libraries.
Welcome back to Reader's Roundtable. I'm Jessica Trotter, and I'm here with Sherry McConnell and Marisela Garza. And when we're not hanging out on the podcast, we select materials for Kettle's collection. Thank you for joining me.
Hello.
Hi there.
We're going to talk about, actually, we wanted to talk about things that we're looking forward to or kind of out now that we're excited about. And we thought this was just heading into the summer, and some of those blockbusters are coming up and some other stuff that we don't want you to miss. A lot of stuff based in books.
That's right. That's right. So we all know that The Hunger Games, Twilight, Harry Potter, all of those YA books that turned into blockbuster movies have sort of led the parade, I guess you could say, for all sorts of young adult titles now becoming movies. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm imagining it, but it seems like all kinds of New York bestsellers get turned into movies these days. So one of the ones that I've been kind of curious about is, does anyone remember a book called The Knife of Never Letting Go? This is by Patrick Ness. This is from 2008. And it's part of the Chaos Walking series. And the book was about a 12-year-old kid who's kind of growing up on an alien planet where there are no girls, no women, and he becomes an outcast in some way, and he's on a colony of some sort of a spaceship, and he ends up meeting a girl, and it's really a drama in some ways of requires a lot of emotional, physical sort of like thinking about what is going on when we're living in a world really. I think the author was kind of getting at like just information overload and the wars and anyway, so there's been talk about a movie coming out for a long time, and I'm sad to say it is not coming out this year. Aww. But the last I checked, it could be coming in 2020, and the only reason I think that is because since we ordered the books, I saw in my December cart of 2019 that there's a media version paperback. Sometimes they'll come out with the book again with like a cover right? from the movie, so involving the movie. So maybe sometime in 2020.
So we're looking forward, way forward, and a little closer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me add something a little bit closer. It came out last week, actually. It's a movie called The Best of Enemies, based on the book The Best of Enemies, and it stars Taraji P. Henson and Sam Rockwell. And
Sam Rockwell's in everything.
He seems to be in everything these days. I saw the trailer for this, and I mean, I really want to see it. It's based on the true story of the description is an unlikely friendship between a KKK leader and a civil rights activist in North Carolina. And one of the reasons why I want to see it, because in this trailer, it's like, how will these people ever get together? Because, of course, the trailer only shows them arguing and the dramatic parts where they're so. I really want to see this movie because I want to see how it is and how it works. So that's something that came out last week. And
do you know who that book is by?
It is by Osha Gray Davidson.
Okay. Well, on the ones that I was thinking about, if you haven't caught, one of the things that's interesting and awkward about our position is that we see a lot of these things coming to TV, to streaming, to services that we can't necessarily always get, especially not quick.
Sherry, and I'm the one that orders the movies, and I promise that when something is on streaming, and if I can get it, it may take me several months, but when it's available, I order it.
And there are services where it will take years, because they are holding on with everything they have to the funding revenue from those movies.
And if you don't have Netflix, you might not get to see it for a long, long, long time, if ever.
So, but that said, I've been, I actually don't have this channel or stream this service, but AMC is going to be running a mini-series based on Joe Hill's horror novel. It's a vanity plate. It's NOS4A2 or Nosferatu. And the book is just a weird, crazy, neat horror story about a creature of sorts who basically extends his life by stealing children, which is not cool, and leaving them in Christmas land where they're kind of... they're basically minions of his there. And a girl, the other character, the lead character, is a woman who finds his place, and her gift seems to be finding things. Things, places, she just finds secret things. And she wanders her way into his creation and gets away, and so puts herself on his radar. And it becomes a bit of a cat and mouse game between the two of them, her trying to save the kids and him trying to get her. Because people shouldn't know. But the interesting thing about this is that Zach Quinto is playing the creepy, scary character, and the ads for it, I've heard more than one person, and I kind of agree. It's like, it's putting me off Christmas canes for life. So go find the book. Again, that's Nosferatu by Joe Hill. And if you're not familiar, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son. And he comes by his horror chops quite naturally.
Okay. All right. Thank you
for
that.
So, yeah, check that one out.
Okay. So next month, The Sun is Also a Star is being released, and it actually is the same title that was written by Nicola Yoon. And I have to say, with these teen films, I really like the soundtracks quite a bit. It always features really... really great music. And this book, and I'm assuming the movie, once I get to see it, is about a quantum physics student. She is kind of becoming chummy with an Asian American exchange student. His name is Daniel. And they are trying to stay together when Natasha finds out that she and her family are facing... deportation from their home. And it's a really she's also Nicola Yoon also wrote Everything, which is the film that maybe a lot of people remember from 2000 or the book from 2017, but that was also a book that came out.
And that's got Yara I don't know how to say her last name. Yara Shahidi is playing the female?
Yes, it is. Yara Shahidi and Charles Melton. Mm-hmm. The director is Rai Russo-Young.
I don't know, but she catches my eye. She's the Blackish.
Yes.
The oldest daughter in Blackish.
Yes, now that I think you are correct, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who also has a spinoff, who's had a spinoff show, too.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay, well, I'm going, the next title I have is something that's coming out next week. And again, I saw the trailer and it looks really good. It's called Breakthrough. It's a faith-based movie and it's based on the book The Impossible, The Miraculous Story of a Mother's Faith and Her Child's Resurrection by Joyce Smith. And it stars Chrissy Metz from This Is Us.
Okay.
And it's about, I don't want to give too much away, but the trailer shows her child falling through the ice, and it's the story is about what happens after he falls through the ice on a frozen lake. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
Right. Now, we both were talking about ahead of time Catch 22.
Yes.
That one is another... That one's going to Hulu.
Yes, yes.
But if you haven't read the classic Catch 22, this was actually one of the only assigned books in high school I really enjoyed. And I think I was a MASH fan, so that's sort of natural in that sense. And if you're not familiar with Catch 22, this is by Joseph Heller, and kind of it's about... One of the big parts to it is about the kind of the bureaucracy and how you're kind of always in this weird circle of, it features a bomber who doesn't want to do bombing runs anymore. He tries to tell, it's sort of like Klinger in MASH, tries to tell people he's crazy, and they say, well, of course, if you think you're crazy, then you're not. If you don't think you're crazy and you're willing to do this, then you're crazy. But until you say you're crazy, then, and it becomes this vicious cycle of, within bureaucracy, and it's just the taking it to the nth degree. But George Clooney is one of the producers and characters in this, so I'm just kind of curious to see how that's going to go. There are some other names attached to it, but they're barely really pitching it as George Clooney's Catch 22.
Well, it seems to be a year for movies coming out on streaming services.
Yeah, it is.
But again, I usually can get those after a while. You just have to be patient. So I want to mention one that's going to be streaming on Amazon Prime. And I thought that I could... Amazon Prime has been one of those that has not been making its movies available or their series, but actually they finally are starting to. So I'm hoping that this one will come out sooner rather than later. Good Omens coming out on May 31st. And the reason why, I mean, it's a match made in heaven and in the other place, written by Neil Gaiman and the late Terry Pratchett, starring David Tennant and Michael Sheen. And one is the devil and one is the angel. But it's intriguing is all of the other actors as well. There are lots of stars in it. Examples are John Hamm, who plays Gabriel, and Benedict Cumberbatch, who plays Satan. So it's a the description is that's right. And the description that I read is it's the funniest book about the apocalypse that you will find. So that's coming out at the end of May.
And really, like David Tennant, what I've seen clips-wise of David Tennant and Martin Sheen is just fabulous. Yeah. And it's basically there's lots of things going on, but at the core of it, there's an angel and a demon trying to stop the apocalypse because they both like Earth too much to give this whole thing up.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Excellent.
Well, I also want to give a little shout-out. This is not coming out till August, but I read recently that the sequel to All the Boys I've Loved Before on Netflix is going to be coming out sometime in August. And if you're not familiar, this is a book, the title to All the Boys I've Loved Before is by Jenny Han. And it kind of follows, the book is basically about a high school student who she's in a family of three kids, and she has a single dad father, but she has to confront all of her past crushes because she, in a moment of maybe let me just record my life, wrote love letters to all these boys, and I won't tell you exactly what happens, but somehow they get a hold of these letters. So these are letters she kind
of
wrote just to have maybe for her own personal memory. Something along those lines. So anyway, the next book is P.S. I Love You, and it's also by Jenny Han, and I'm really hoping that they will follow the book carefully, I guess, because I just really liked the books. They're super teeny, teenager-ish. Moms, dads, read it with your teen. It's so fun. They are really fun books. And like I said earlier, it is on Netflix, so I'm not sure that we'll ever be able to get them. But we do have the books, and actually when the series came out, I remember... I couldn't figure out, like, why are there, is there such a demand on these books now? These books are, like, 5 years old. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, it's the series that's driving when it came out last fall.
I want to say that Netflix is much better than Amazon Prime.
Right,
Netflix will release its series on DVD much sooner than Amazon Prime. So there is hope.
Yes, there is.
Okay, one more streaming service. So this one kind of really surprised me. There in the first trailer is out, just dropped within the last couple of weeks. There is a book called The Rook by Daniel O'Malley, who is an MSU grad.
Oh.
Yeah. It is... It's kind of in that Pratchett-ish vein, but it is a contemporary, it's a science fiction novel. Basically, a woman wakes up, no memory whatsoever. She's somewhere in London, in a park in London, and she's surrounded by a bunch of dead bodies.
Not a good situation.
Lovely. She's
not,
yeah, she doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know how this happened. She basically has to refigure out her life. She's got notes. There's notes in her pockets for her, from her. But it's a mix of
like reconstructing
fantasy.
What happened.
Yes, I mean it's fantasy. It's some espionage because she ends up working for a super secret paranormal division called the Chiqué, within Britain's secret groups. But it's just there's a lot of humor. I'm hoping they keep the humor because there's a lot of humor in the book, but also just it's an action mystery.
Oh, that sounds so much fun.
And it's just kind of neat that there's that MSU connection. He's an Australian. He is Australian and came to MSU for school. We kind of actually have a friend or two in common. And it was just a weird, neat thing to see that that's coming out. So it's actually going to be running on Stars this summer. So it's where, and Olivia Munn and Julie Richardson are two of the actresses attached to it. So something fun to look for.
Okay. I have a couple more that I want to add. One is at, you have to wait until the end of the year for this one, but I have to mention it because of who's in it. It comes out December 20th, and it's Cats the Musical. It's being made into a musical.
But wait until you hear.
Who's in it. I haven't seen any trailers of it yet. Maybe they don't, I don't think they exist yet. They haven't come out. Jennifer Hudson, Taylor Swift, James Corden, Rebel Wilson, and my personal favorite, Idris Elba.
Exactly. That's what I was waiting for.
So I'm really looking forward to this.
Are they singing?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I believe they are.
Well, definitely at least two of them.
Yeah. And so it's coming out in December, just in time for the holiday season. So that's something to look forward to. And I have to mention one more. This doesn't have a release date, but again, it's because of the director and who's in it. This is going to have a short cinematic run. Say that quick three times. But also will be on Netflix. And it is called The Irishman. And it's based on the book I Heard You Paint Houses by Charles Brandt, directed by Martin Scorsese. And it tells the story of the killing of Jimmy Hoffa. And again, it's I have seen a trailer. One just came out, but it didn't reveal a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But it stars Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Ray Romano, Harvey Keitel, and Joe Pesci. So I'm really, really looking forward to this one too. Whenever it comes out,
and just as we started. There is so many books that are being.
Oh yeah, yeah. We
TV
did not mention all
we,
of them.
I'm just gonna really like quick run through just because people who are in our readers book discussion groups or in their own book discussion groups will recognize some of these titles. Where'd You Go, Bernadette? By Marie Semple is that movie is coming out in August with Cate Blanchett and Kristen Wiig. Art of Racing in the Rain, which is a huge... if you've participated in Book Sleuth, PI, or live, that's a hot one for... It's a favorite for book discussions. It's a favorite for suggestions among our staff. That's by Garth Stein, and there's a movie coming out in September of that one. Woman in the Window, which was last year's big thriller by A.J. Finn. I mean, almost within 5 minutes of that book coming out, it had already been attached to Amy Adams, and that one's coming out in October. And then Goldfinch, which is another big perennial book discussion favorite by Donna Tartt. That one is also coming out, I believe, it's either September or October, and that's also has... It might be Julianne Moore, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But, I mean, there's just so many, and that's really just scratching the surface that it's none of the graphic novels people. I mean, all the Marvel movies or Umbrella Academy on Netflix now. If you didn't know, that is definitely from a comic book that we carry. So check out all these things. There are just so many neat things going on.
Yep.
We'll be right back with our Spring Reader Roundup.
Right here.
Life can get pretty busy between work, family, friends, and running all those errands. But with the Cattle app, life gets a little easier. It allows you to download or stream books, movies, music, and more on your mobile device anytime with a library card. Capital Area District Libraries. Everything right here.
Right here.
We're back to Rita's Roundtable, and we're talking kind of spring, I think maybe early summer, things mm-hmm. that we are yep. Looking forward to sharing with you. I'm going to jump in really quick with my first one because the genealogist in me will not let me let this one pass. Plus, I was talking to Sherry about it yesterday, and I feel like I need to share. There is a new cozy series starting up. The first book is called Murder Once Removed by S.C. Perkins. It's a series starter. It's just a fun cozy featuring a 30-something genealogist, professional genealogist, who's made this tremendous discovery for somebody she's been working for and researching her family. But it's basically as the effect of kicking the hornet's nest in this long-going feud between these two political families. So it's just There's a murder, and there's lots of he said, she said going on, and being the brilliant researcher that she is, she, of course, stumbles her way into the mystery and asks questions that she shouldn't be asking because this is a cozy mystery, and that's the way life works. It was fun. It's just one of those. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I was telling Sherry, and I don't think Mari was in the room, but it's one of those things. I went looking for reviews, and there's some great reviews, but then there's some reviews from professional genealogists who are taking it way too seriously.
There are always ones that take it way too seriously.
Just, it's a fun genealogy mystery. I will freely admit that just the way any cozy works, people are nosy and they get involved in these things. So one of the arguments was that no ethical genealogist would ever be asking these questions. And I'm thinking, well, okay, but this is a cozy mystery. It was fun. I enjoyed it. The only time there's one little thing that is a technical issue with me, but it wasn't, the mystery did not hinge on this piece of evidence that does not exist and breaks my heart that it doesn't exist. But it's just one of those fun things I think people should go find. I enjoyed it.
Okay. All right, so all my books are actually coming out in April, and actually some have already been released, and we have order records for them, maybe not quite on the shelf yet, but you will find them soon, so you can put your holds on them. The first one I'm going to talk about is called Operatic by Kyo MacLear, and I'm not sure if I'm saying her name correct, but she's actually a Canadian novelist and mostly children's author. She did win an award, a Trillium Award for Excellence in English Language Prose for writing, I think, kind of a memoir biography, Birds, Art, Life, and a Year of Observation. Her books are just beautiful. Beautiful covers. She's not an illustrator that I know of, but this particular book is a graphic novel, middle grade graphic novel, Operatic by Kyo MacLear, and the illustrator is Byron Eggenschweiler. And it is like the perfect setup for the end of the year. The eighth grade class is almost at the end, and they have a music teacher who starts teaching them about all different styles of music, metal, heavy metal, pop, rap, jazz, emo music, which I didn't know that much about until maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but all sorts of different things. And the main character, her name is Charlotte, she discovers Maria Callas, just outstanding operatic opera singer, soprano woman from a long, long time ago, but just really, really awesome. So, in a lot of graphic novels, I really like the use of how the illustrators will use certain colors to kind of help you follow the story. So mm-hmm. when it turns to this color, you know they're this person's talking, or this is happening, or mm-hmm. they're in this setting. So that happens in this book. But it's really nice because it draws a lot from music history and talks a lot about just the different issues that kids are facing and how the compassion that kind of shines through kids. I mean, it's a little bit of a coming of age story for middle schoolers where you are, you know, trying to find your place, and children are, you know, really trying to stick up for their fellow students. And such. So I'm really looking forward to getting that in our building soon.
Mm-hmm. Great. Sounds beautiful. Well, I all the titles that I'm going to cover are all coming out in May, just in time for summer reading, beach reading, vacation reading. Mm-hmm. And almost all of the authors have had recent New York Times bestsellers. And this is the next book. And so just in time for May, there's a lot of really good stuff coming out. The first one I want to mention is coming out May 7th, and it's by Michael Cranish. And it's called The World's Fastest Man, The Extraordinary Life of Cyclist Major Taylor, America's First Black Sports Hero. And it's in the tradition of Boys in the Boat and Seabiscuit. Mm-hmm. But it's the story. Major Taylor is it's 1890s, and slavery has ended, but the Jim Crow laws are in effect, and Major Taylor is this young black man who wants to break into what at the time is the most popular sport. Cycling is at its height in the 1890s. Before cars come along, mm-hmm. cycling is a really big deal. And the story is about how he becomes a champion, an international sports star, and a champion cyclist. And one of the reasons why this caught my eye is because I have two things in common with him. He was born in Indianapolis, and I am from Indiana, not Indianapolis, but I am from Indiana, and there is somewhat of a cycling tradition, especially at Indiana University, but he ends up living in Worcester, Massachusetts, and I also lived in Worcester, Massachusetts, and so in both places, his name has popped up, and actually, in Indianapolis, there is the Major Taylor Velodrome, where people do cycling races. So that's the first book to mention coming out on May 7th. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to miss this one, so I'm going to make this next. So Ted Chiang is a really fabulous under-the-radar science fiction author. Most people don't know his name. He doesn't put out a lot of books, but when he does, you should go and grab anything. He's a short story writer, specifically. This flies in science fiction where it doesn't in almost any other genre, but short stories still sell there.
My next title, I have a whole bunch of stuff. May 7th is a really popular date for
another thing we were talking about.
And then the next title I have is by David McCullough. And, you know, if you love history, American history, he's one of the premier authors. And his last book was The Wright Brothers. This one is called The Pioneers, the Historic Story of the Settlers Who Brought the American Ideal West. And what's so special about this book is that it is about Michigan. It is about the Midwest. And the book is about, well, after the Revolutionary War and Great Britain recognizes the United States in the Treaty of Paris, Britain cedes all this land to the United States, and it's called the Northwest Territory. Detroit is part of the Northwest Territory. Toledo is part of that. So it's the wilderness from the Ohio River on north. So Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I've been waiting for this book to come out. I spotted it last year, and I'm really excited for it because it's about our history. Hmm. So I'm excited to see this book.
Okay. All right. So I have also another middle grade fiction book called Extraordinary Birds It's by Sandy Stark McGinnis. And one of the things I'm really enjoying lately is reading books that involve foster kids or kids in foster care. And this is a story about an 11-year-old. Her name is December. And December believes that she is a bird. She has a scar on her back, and she thinks that one day that her wings are going to pop out of there and she's going to be able to fly away. She doesn't have a permanent home, so she thinks of the sky as being the place where she's going to go to eventually. So when she gets placed with a foster mom named Eleanor, this is a woman who is very kind to her, but the woman volunteers at an animal rescue center, and she also kind of ends up having some of her own secrets or things that kind of plague her life. It kind of helps December to, I guess, develop trust, not just with the mom, the foster mom, but just other persons around the animals. She meets a hawk, a red hawk of some kind named Henrietta. And this is kind of like the perfect, I don't know what you call it, like a picture for what's going on in December's life. I mean, Henrietta, the red-tailed hawk, is having some sort of recovery from trauma. And December is needing that herself. And she's slowly beginning to think that maybe living here on Earth would be an okay place. And it's possible that she might have a permanent home. I really like J-fiction books that also include like lots of little factoids about birds, like the author will sprinkle it in. So there's lots of bird imagery and facts that are really, really well placed, I think. So I'm recommending Extraordinary Birds by Sandy Stark McGinnis.
All right, I need help.
Okay.
Amy Adams, Oscar-nominated science fiction. Arrival. Arrival?
That sounds right.
Yeah,
I think it's Arrival.
Arrival by Mr.
It's by Ted
Chiang.
Yes.
Ted Chiang, okay.
That's not the actual name of the book. That's
okay.
The problem. I know the name of the book.
Okay. All right. Just in case, look up the movie. You'll
get
see
your
the title.
Out.
So yes, I was looking for it. Exhalation is a book of stories by Ted Chiang. Ted Chiang does not put out a lot of books. He puts out short stories and slowly gathers them over the years. And I think maybe this is his third collection. But they're always nominated. They're always, he's won many awards for his very small body of work. And this collection I've managed to get a hold of early, and it's just fabulous. And it's one of those things where you just sort of, you kind of have to kind of, there's only, I think, maybe 8 stories in it, but you sort of find yourself sort of sitting back and thinking about each one as you finish. And they're kind of all over the place, though there's a little bit of a theme of really kind of going back and forth on free will and whether we have it or whether we don't. And it's sometimes depressing, and it's sometimes not. I mean, it makes for some interesting times, but one of the things, kind of on the bird theme, one of the stories is called The Great Silence, which is told from the point of view of a Puerto Rican parrot living on in the rainforests near Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico.
Okay. Okay.
And it's basically this bird kind of saying, They're always shooting these rays out to try and get people, you know, get people's attention out there, and we're right here, and you know, we'd love to have a conversation with them, and
aww.
It's just that's just one example, and there's other things that it looks at. There's a time travel story about a gentleman who walks into a bazaar in the Middle East, and kind of the person is like, he has a beautiful bazaar, and the person has been a salesman in his life too, and he's sort of looking around and saying, this is great, your wares are beautiful. And the guy's, oh, you don't know the half of it, here, let me show you this. And he basically shows him a door, and like, you walk through the door and it's 20 years ago. It's like, and it gets in his head, and he wants to try and make up for something that happened early on in his life. And it kind of goes to free will. And that whole, the play in science fiction on time travel, can you change things? If you change one thing, will it change everything? Did you ever have a chance of changing anything? Or was you going back always part of the plan? it's that sort of in it, you know, you can get in your head kind of going circles on that one. So it's just the stories are really fabulous. And if you pick up no other science fiction short story writer, you should pick up anything by him.
Well, I'll jump in with another one. Another author that had a huge blockbuster quite a few years ago now, but he's had books in between, Jared Diamond. And if you don't recognize his name, you will definitely recognize the title Guns, Germs, and Steel, which was a huge hit. And so his next one is coming out on May 7th.
It's called, coming out on May 7th.
Everything's, yep. It's called Upheaval, Turning Points for Nations in Crisis. And Diamond compares six countries that have survived upheaval. Japan, when it was opened up by an American fleet, the Soviet Union's attack on Finland, coups in Chile and Indonesia, and the transformations of Germany and Austria after World War II. So he examines how these countries coped with upheaval and how successful they were as a way of examining the kinds of upheaval that that countries are going through today and how they have we learned from the past. So again, if you're a Jared Diamond fan, this is his next one.
Okay. Right. So I've got a couple of YA titles, young adult titles, that are also coming out this month, have come out this month. The first one is sort of a historical fantasy novel, maybe. It's called We Rule the Night by Claire Elizabeth Bartlett. And this is kind of a Russian-inspired fantasy where there are two very strong-willed teenagers that are recruited to be involved in an aviator sort of bombing mission. And they're fighting against an enemy. And it's fantasy, so it's not based on a real war, but it is kind of modeled on the Night Witches, which was a real thing during World War II. The Night Witches were a German name or nickname for a group of female military aviators that were in the Soviet air forces. So anyway, in this book, you've got a teenager who's had her legs destroyed, and she's got metal sort of as prosthetics, and you've got kids who are trying to learn how to promote themselves, even though she has a disability, and trying to come against, you know, those who would try to put her down because of a disability. This is definitely for fans of like Leigh Bardugo. Catherine Lasky also wrote about the Night Witches in a historical sort of book, so I'm really looking forward to getting through that one. And I like that it features female aviators in some ways. I'm hoping it will remind me of Codename Verity, because I love that book.
There you go.
Okay. The other one I was going to mention is called Since We Last Spoke. And this is by Brenda Ruffner, if I'm saying her name correct. And this is kind of a realistic fiction, but like really heartbreaking. Like it deals with a lot of grief. There's two families involved. There's a young woman teen and a male teen. And up until a certain something happens, they're kind of, you know, in love with each other and really enjoying. And some really, really horrific things happen involving a car accident and suicides. And it's kind of the story of how families, it sounds really depressing. And it certainly, I bet it is. But it reminds me of just, you know, conflicts that real life people in my own life have. When something really horrible happens, and how people can or choose not to get over these really horrific things that have happened. It's a little bit of a Romeo and Juliet story, but I really like to recommend this book that deals with a lot of grief and very complex feelings about complex issues that can happen in families. Mm-hmm.
I've got a fiction book. Nina George kind of came onto my radar a few years ago with big hit, at least within libraries and our patrons, with the Little Paris Bookshop. Mm-hmm. And she has a new book coming out called The Book of Dreams. And it's a lot about second chances, making things right, doing what's right. It's a magical story that sort of, it features a small cast of characters. There's an ex-war reporter named Henry Skinner who has been, who receives a note from a son he hasn't seen in many years, who wants to connect, wants to know about him. He's brilliant. He's a brilliant 13-year-old kid who's basically, without his mother knowing, tracked down his father after they'd separated. They've been separated since he was a toddler. And he's on his way. But he's on his way, and a girl falls off a boat. He's crossing on the, he's above on the bridge, and he sees it happen, and all these bystanders are watching. And he very courageously jumps in and goes after her and manages to fish her out. And then immediately gets hit by a car.
Oh.
And it's one of those, like, wait a minute, what? That's that. Yes, exactly. So a lot of the story is him in a coma.
Yeah.
His son tracks him down, is able to figure out what's going on. I mean, is able to, he's still kind of loosely, I mean, they were able to figure out that that's where he was headed. So, and his son is just so focused on the fact that he was coming.
Oh.
You know he was coming. Yeah. So there is, so I'm going to sit here, whether my mother cares, whether my mother wants me to or not. Uh-huh. I basically, he's skipping school. He's just showing up and hanging out at the hospital. But he also, in that period, he meets.
Yay for reconciliation!
Yes, I know. And, but in that, in the hospital, he meets the woman who finds out that she is still the medically responsible person for Henry. Mm-hmm. And it's a lost love that signed off to do this. So she's kind of figuring out her life as she's sitting also by his bedside with his son. And then there's actually another character kind of off on the side that about the same age as the little boy, who's also as a dancer whose family was in a, she's very young, but borderline professional ballet dancer whose family was in a car crash, and she is the only one who survived, but she's also in a coma. And the little boy starts to visit her bed too. And it's just, it's all of these stories kind of unraveling and people trying to figure out what's right and how this can work out. It's just that it's really, she does a wonderful mix of beginnings and endings and looking at what's important in life. Because mm-hmm. you really are, you're getting,
well, it sounds like it all takes place right, like on one floor of a hospital mainly?
There's some in and outs, but it's a lot of in people's heads, including the two people stuck in the coma. And it's fascinating how an author can make that a story that you want to just kind of know how it's going to go, and you kind of, and you want to see how this can work out for as many people as possible.
Is everybody going to be okay?
Yes, yeah. It's exactly that. And it's just, she's writes very well, and it's a fun read that way.
There, like I said, there are so many good books coming out in May. This one is not May 7th. This one's May 14th.
Well.
And it is an author that we have had here at Cattle, David Marinus.
Oh, okay.
And he's writing this time about his family. And the book is called A Good American Family, The Red Scare and My Father. Oh. And his father is a World War II veteran. And he was spied on by the FBI. He was named as a communist by an informant and is called before the House Un-American Activities Committee. And he's fired from his job. He's blacklisted. And so this story is about how David Marinus, how his family copes with the turmoil of his father being accused of being a communist and how they survive. And it's a part of the 1950s. I mean, we refer to it.
Yes.
But, I mean, most families didn't have to live through it. So he writes about how his family and how his father tries to protect his family during that time.
I'm going to just throw out two quick ones, not give you a full thing on them, but this is for your kind of, if you're into paranormal romance or horror or, you know, that kind of contemporary urban fantasy setting. Longtime favorite for a lot of our branches is Patricia Briggs, whose latest Mercy Thompson book is coming out on May 7th, because that's the day. And it's called Storm Cursed, and I will tell you, it's creepy. It kept me up. I read it, like, in one sitting, and then proceeded to have kind of really weird dreams. And it's just one of those, if you like those characters, we have the added horror of a couple of witches have moved into the Tri-Cities area and are, one of them just enjoys making zombies and causing trouble that way. And then the other thing, if you are looking for especially a good own voices author, Rebecca Roanhorse, who's up for all kinds of awards this year for her first book, Trail of Lightning, that sequel is coming out actually in 2 weeks, or around about 2 weeks. And that particular, the first book left me wanting more. And if you've read the book, it's not just because of the ending, which is a bit of a cliffhanger. But it's just, Maggie is a fabulously flawed character. This is, they're set kind of post-apocalyptic a little bit. It's in the Dinata. It's the, basically, climate change has affected the world, and oddly enough, by keeping all of the indigenous peoples on their reservations, they are better suited to survival. Because they didn't have much to begin with. But she writes a neat story. In some way, the gods are walking the earth. Like, if you like Patricia Briggs, this is another... the gods are kind of walking around. We got Coyote is a troublemaker who wanders through both books. And it's just, it's a fun adventure, borderline horror story that it's just neat world building in both of them. So
I got it. I'll make it quick.
We understand.
And the reason why I got it is because these two authors had huge hits.
Okay.
And huge bestsellers. They're both coming out on May 21st. The first one is William McRaven, General William McRaven. He had a huge bestseller, Make Your Bed. And a lot of it was, it came out, Make Your Bed came out in time for that graduation present. Because it's like little tales for success kind of thing.
Yeah.
This one is about, this one is called Sea Stories, My Life in Special Operations. And so it's about his life as an officer. And it starts in 1960s at an officer's club in France and goes from there. But it's snippets of his life from childhood through days hunting terrorists and rescuing hostages. So that one's coming out. If you really like to Make Your Bed, look for that one coming out May 21st. And the last one I want to mention is by Kate Mulgrew, and she had a huge biography.
Another big librarian and patron favorite around here. Our members have enjoyed that one a lot.
And that book, if the name doesn't ring a bell, her book was called Born with Teeth. And she's a star of Orange is the New Black. She was the star of one of the Star Trek series. You probably know which one because it's escaping me right at the moment. I want to say Deep Space.
No,
not that one. Okay. Anyway,
Voyager.
The book is called what?
Voyager.
Okay. The book is called How to Forget, a daughter's memoir, and it's about her returning to her childhood home in Iowa to take care of her ailing parents and about the secrets that she finds while she's there.
Yeah, I can't come up with Arrival, but I can come up with Voyager.
Yeah. So those are my last two titles, but I just had to get them in.
The funny thing about her is that I actually I remember her from Voyager, definitely, but she also was on Murder,
Soap
She Wrote.
Opera.
I don't know.
Oh, no. She was on Ryan's Hope.
She's been on it. She's been a character actor for ever.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
But I just had to mention it because her first book was such a huge bestseller.
It really was. Yeah. And we've already had people asking about that one. Uh-huh. So, yes.
Yep. All right. Well, if you'll allow me then,
I will
one last book. This is a picture book. It'll be quick. This is called Home is a Window by Stephanie Parsley Ledyard. And if you read Pie is for Sharing, this is a very beautifully illustrated book. It's a Pixar animator. The name is Sasaki, but it's the Home is a Window is her newest title. And if you think about home, I mean, it can be lots of things. Like if you like put an image in your head right now, what is home like? For me, it's my rocking chair that mm-hmm. I use not just for reading, but mm-hmm. like when I'm still half dead in the morning, I'm drinking coffee. It's like all those things that become really cozy in your, you know, in your physical world, but also in your mind about what you think of home. So this is a book about a family, four children, you know, who are leaving things that are familiar behind when they have mm-hmm. to move. So anyway, I think it's going to be really beautiful, and hope you will pick it up. Home is a Window by Stephanie Parsley Ledyard.
Nice.
Okay, and you can tell that we could go on about this forever. We all have so many things that we are excited about getting hold of and getting to you. So we'll come back with more later. Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, goodbye.
Yes, goodbye. Happy spring.